This morning, I want to invite you to open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Thessalonians. Boy, I am just messing up big time this morning. I got so many things on my mind right now. I'm just kind of... again, we're talking about the lawless one who's coming on the scene. This man of perdition, man of sin, and how that so many people are deceived into following him. And I believe that the stage is being set right now for that very thing. And I'm going to try my best to kind of present that to you this morning. But let's go back to verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 9, in chapter 2, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." Who is it? It's Satan. Yeah, it's coming according to him. "With all power and signs and lying wonders." Amen. Brian, would you mind asking the blessing upon this lesson this morning? You know, over the years, being the pastor of this church, I felt it was necessary to warn people not to get caught up in the signs and wonders that may come along from time to time in the Christian world, you might say. Especially, don't allow it to be the basis for your faith. And the reason why is because they can indeed be false. It's what we're seeing in these verses of Scripture that we're looking at this morning. I heard a brother share it this way. I want to share what he said that I think puts it into perspective. He said, "The Jewish people, they saw the Red Sea part, and the waters collapse on the armies of Pharaoh. They saw the mountains shake. They heard the voice from heaven. They saw food fall every morning, and the earth swallow the people. They were led by a fiery pillar at night and by a cloud by day. They saw more signs and more wonders than any group of people in history. And yet the children of Israel couldn't enter the promised land." You see, the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "And so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." What this tells us is that signs and wonders don't produce faith. It's the Word of God that produces a faith and a belief in the Word of God. You must believe it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So, does God do signs and wonders? Yes, He does. But they're to confirm the Word of God. And they will always, always agree with the Word of God. In the book of Mark, the very last chapter of Mark, as he closes, this was the words that were shared. "And these signs will follow those who believe." This is chapter 16, verse 17 through 20. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into the heavens and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs that were spoken of here." Notice it says, "these signs." These signs, not signs. And so we have to take God at His word. And the problem with getting preoccupied with signs is that they only produce a more craving for signs. Isn't that right? A craving for signs and wonders. And that's one of the reasons why that many years later, during the time of Jesus, the Jews were still asking for more signs. It's like in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about the Jewish people. They always look for a sign. But see, they walked in unbelief. In John chapter 6, verse 30-31, it says, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform them, that we may see it and believe you? That what work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And so they even went back and they remembered the signs that were done back during the time of Moses. And the Israels are going through the wilderness. And when they said this, this all took place only a day after Jesus had fed 5,000 people. They saw a great miracle. It boggles the mind that they, again, start craving more signs, more signs. Just a little more and I'll believe. Just a little more and I'll believe. But like I said, miracles never produce a lasting faith. In the story of Lazarus and the rich man found himself in a place of torment, whereas Lazarus found himself comforted in a place called Abraham's bosom. And the rich man asked Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to earth to warn my brothers not to come here." I want you to see what Abraham's response was to this rich man in Luke 16:29-31. "And Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.'" You know, I know that the world, they think that faith is produced by signs and wonders, but we know different. Look at Abraham's response. "But he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" And I think that that's one of the biggest problems in the church today. Jesus said signs and wonders will follow those that believe. But in fact, what we have today, we have believers following signs and wonders. And that's not what we're called to do. How many times have you heard people say somewhere, like, for example, "Oh, I saw a genuine miracle. I was personally healed by a miracle." That's great. But have you received Christ? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the Bible tells us very clearly that there are going to be many who say, "We've seen signs and wonders." But he's going to say, "I never knew you." Read carefully Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name?'" This kind of makes you stop and think a little bit, doesn't it? "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, it is the Word of God that produces the faith. It is the Word of God that produces the nature and the character of Jesus Christ within you, so that that new birth takes place, that new person comes forth. As the Bible says, those who are in Christ, they're a new creation. "All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." And it is the Word of God that produces that new life within you. Verse 10 through 12 now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. That they all may be what? Condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Again, here we have Paul who's teaching a very sobering truth. A person can so resist the truth that they will become deluded, delusional. As a result, they have to believe a lie. There's really no room for both. There's no neutral ground. Either you believe the truth or you will believe a lie. To reject the truth means you will receive a lie. Plain and simple. Does this mean that God is to blame for man's rejection of Christ? No more than God is to blame for Pharaoh's spiritual condition when, you know, Moses was bringing the plagues upon Egypt. And, you know, as it says, God hardened his heart. Pharaoh, he heard God's word. He saw God's wonders. But he refused to bow to God's will. And occasionally he would give lip service to his knowledge of God. But it wasn't sincere. He would always go right back to his own way. God hardened his heart so that he could not believe the truth. In verse 11, it literally reads that they should believe the lie. That they should believe the lie. Again, what is the lie? Well, it's the same lie that's been perpetrated upon mankind from the very beginning. It's the one that Satan spoke to Eve. You shall be as God. You're going to be God. Basically tells you, you can do whatever you want to do. No consequences. You're God. But the verse of scripture that I think we need to pay attention to is found in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, where it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, the literal translation for that is, "who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator." The creature being man. That's why a lot of times whenever you have the opportunity to share the faith with somebody, and you find yourself saying, please receive him. Don't you want to receive him? Don't you see how God is, he's so good. And he freely gives this to you. And you may be even talking to somebody who goes to church, but they've never been born again. And you wonder, why don't you want to be saved? Don't you want your sins forgiven, we ask. Only to hear them say, no thanks, not now, or I'm not ready, you know. Who wouldn't want to be saved, amen, from the wrath to come? It's those who have been deluded to the point of delusion. Those who choose to believe a lie. And he will allow those who don't want to see to become blind. Very clearly in Scripture, we see that. This week, I was talking to Lucinda and Rob about a story that I found on Facebook there that, actually it wasn't on Facebook, it was on one of the news sites there, that this last week, the Presbyterian Church Council has met and has now determined that gay marriage is Christian.
Make me laugh.
And again, now, which Presbyterian denomination, I don't know, because there's several, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you. But I also read last night that this same denomination is basically saying that they are, what's the word they used? They are detaching themselves from anything to have to do with Israel. So, here's what I see is a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's like it multiplies sin over and over and over again. And to say this, it becomes obvious. They're not reading the same Bible I am, you know. And I know many people try to say, you know, well, that's the Old Testament, Carrie. You know, you're getting very legalistic. We're under the New Testament. Grace. It's all about grace. Grace, grace, grace. Folks, we have grace. That's true. But the grace that's given us is to help us to turn from sin and not to remain in sin. We're told in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And so oftentimes, when you, especially concerning this one particular topic, if you are against it, you are called a hater, which is absurd. It's absurd, because if I hated you, I would say, keep doing what you're doing because it's going to destroy you. But if I say, you need to repent, you need to turn away from this, it's out of love. It's out of love. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 through 16 says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. A lot of foolish men out there. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of for vice, but as bondservants of God. So, folks, we need to remember that we are called to serve God and walk according to His will and purpose, and not after the dictates of what we think is right. We're not to suppress the truth in unrighteousness and worship the creature rather than the Creator. We're to do what God says to do. These men who sit on these councils, who oversee all these people who profess Christianity, and they a lot of times will influence them, they're doing this at their own peril. Because the Scripture is very clear what God has to say about these men. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 through 22, it says, but these, and it's talking about those who enter into the church, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices. They are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackest of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, and this is what a lot of religious people do if they don't speak the word of God and they're just speaking tradition and philosophies of men, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. You see what the attraction is? Through lewdness, the ones who actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed in the wallowing in the mire. That, my friends, is the state of affairs in much of the church world today. Indeed, we do see what is, I believe, a mass falling away from the faith. They have plain forgotten the Word of God, or they are just plain ignorant of the Word of God. And folks, I know a lot of people say, Carrie, you share a lot about this. And one of the reasons I share a lot about this is I believe that this is a very dangerous thing that is causing people to fall away into that apostate church in the last day. We're at a time where Isaiah 55 and verse 20 through 21 is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, this is their problem, and prudent in their own sight. They're trusting in their own knowledge, in their own wisdom, and not in God. This gay issue, I believe, is probably one of the most destructive issues to face the church. I believe God is looking for men and women who will stand firm on the foundation of God's word. God takes this very seriously, folks. And those who believe it and teach it are those who love to make lies and who are believing lies. I would count you to look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15 when it says outside the holy city. It means those who can't enter in. are dogs. And when it talks about dogs there, it's not talking about literal dogs. That's a reference to the legalists. Okay, and we're not being legal here. We're just sharing with you the truth that Jesus has saved you not to continue in sin, but that you might have victory over sin. It says that also who will be there are the sorcerers or those who use drugs or sell drugs, the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. So I think that encompasses everything. But then he goes on to say, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Bill Lowry used to tell a story about a man who had a dream that he was in hell. And he saw a man walking along the lake of fire, pulling up heads, looking at him. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for the man who told me, you know, I was okay, you know, and that it was okay to do this or to do that. You know, it's a very serious thing with God. That's why the Bible says those who teach the word of God are going to receive a greater scrutiny. They're going to receive a greater condemnation. Because you've got to make sure you are teaching what is thus says the Lord. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I just don't believe what you're telling me, Carrie. I just think that it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Love is love, no matter what. How many times have I heard people say that kind of thing? I'm going to tell you what the Word of God has to say right here. And then you let this sink down into your heart. And you tell me whether I'm wrong or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then it says, do not be deceived. This is what we're talking about, people being deceived. A lot of churches who are falling into this lie, this apostate spirit. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says, and such were, meaning past tense, such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now let me say to you here, if you're here today and you're struggling with the homosexual spirit, it's not sin to be tempted. It's sin to give in to the temptation. Just like it's not sin to be tempted to be angry and lash out at somebody. It's sin to give in to that temptation to lash out and hurt somebody. I believe that God wants everyone who has been struggling with this spirit to know that He cares for them, that He loves them, and He wants them to overcome all the temptations of the flesh. But those who believe, again, the lie, they're blind. They can't see afar off. And the Scripture makes it very clear. If somebody comes into the church and they say, I'm a homosexual, my question to them is, are you a practicing homosexual? Because if you are, we can't have that here. But if you're here and you're looking for deliverance, you're looking for help, we're here to love you into relationship with the Lord. Amen? Same thing. If somebody's here, says, I'm an adulterer. Well, are you a practicing adulterer? Again, unless you repent, you know, we've got to cast that out of the church. But if you're here and you want deliverance and maybe you're tempted, we're here to help. That's what it's all about. But folks, we cannot allow this apostate spirit to enter into the church because it is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And Satan makes it look and seem so real. And pressure is put on people to accept this as something that is from God. And it is not. It's from the pit of hell. Plain and simple. And I believe that it is probably the one thing and one area of doctrine that is producing so many apostate churches today and causing so many to fall away. Because like I said, when you start with one sin, it seems like it begins to snowball with others. We've got to keep our eyes open, folks, and make sure that we obey the truth and that we look to the truth, that we don't lose our reward. And that we make sure that we are right with God and hold on to His promise of salvation, not by our works of righteousness, but by what He's done for us. And the Bible tells us very clearly, he said, once he saved us, it says to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That means we don't have permission to go and do whatever we want to. And listen, if you belong to him, he will chasten you as his own child. But if you continue to turn away, you may reach that place where you deny him. And if you deny him, he has said very clearly in the scriptures that if we deny him, he will deny us. See, you're secure if you keep your confidence steadfast to the end. Amen. I want to encourage you folks to make sure that whatever is presented to you, that you prove it with the Word of God. And you just don't accept it as being from God. It has to agree with the Word. Every sign, every wonder, every doctrine, everything has to agree with the Word of God. It's the plumb line. It's what's going to keep us safe. It's that river of life. Amen. Let's bow our heads.